Like one or two songs. Stephen B. doing in the key of E. We're talking about excellence for you and me. We're going to have an exciting show today. A lot of things to talk about, especially football yesterday. My God, what could possibly happen? Welcome to Controversy.
Life's experience of happiness. Time to witness what some people say.
Controversy on a Monday. We got a lot of things to talk about. Let me tell you, we're going to talk local first. We're going to talk about some national things and the tragedy of a very beautiful young Miss USA who supposedly committed suicide. Also, we're going to do my catfish watch. I'm about to name some names. So be careful of who you're doing, what you're doing, because I'm about exposure right now. We got a special guest today as well. So let me start off with the local news. First of all, locally, once again, in Indianapolis, we've had several just outrageous crimes and murders. I don't get it. All I know is that people are dying at a rapid rate, especially at the hands of ourselves, meaning I still say this thing. When they talk about Black Lives Matter, it seems like it matters to everybody but us. We've got to get a better handle on this. I mean, it's unbelievable of the murders that have happened this weekend. I think, how many murders do we have this weekend? At least, I know at least three. So we got to do something better about that. The Indianapolis Police Department are working very, very hard to contain what they can contain. But until we get involved as residents of Indianapolis protecting our own, we're going to continue to have the problems that we're having. Now we got to get national. Let me say this. I said it before. I'm going to say it again, that this whole Russian-Ukraine thing is becoming just outrageously ridiculous. First of all, as I said last week, that Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, has done this every new president the first year, you know, whether it's China, Korea, whether it's Ukraine, doesn't make a difference. People got to understand this guy is nothing but a saber raiser. What's what I'm going to use? A saber.
Forget
it.
What? Saber-tooth tiger?
No, no. A saber rattler, okay?
A rabble-rizer?
Yeah, okay. He's a thug. That's what it just boils down to. He's a thug. And until the United States start dealing with him as if he is the thug that he is, then we're going to continue to have the problem that we're having. And right now, I'm really pissed off because now I see that we're being forced to send troops once again into an issue that's really none of our business. It's none of our business because we can't keep being the police for the world. We have to really talk about being the police for our own country and protecting our own country. And to take American lives and throw them in this situation again every year, and it's ludicrous. So we've got to stop doing that, okay? It's very important that we take care of our own. You know, home is far more important than what's going on somewhere else. Don't forget that the call-in number is 515-605-9800. I've got a guest with me today. You know, if you know, I'm a veteran, and everybody so far is involved in the station, especially in management and producing, are veterans, and that's very important to me. So the veteran I've got today to interview, as soon as he sits down, hello, MC, is Mr. Tyrone Steele. He's a good friend of mine, and he's a musician. But before we get into the musical part, we're going to talk a little bit about his experience in the military and some of the things that he encountered, especially about the attitudes of the military towards those of color. Tyrone, welcome to the show. What branch of service were you in?
I was actually in two branches.
Go ahead.
I went in first to the Air Force, and then some years later went to the Air Force.
Okay. So how many years did you actually serve?
Not very many, actually. Okay. Not as many as I wanted to. I was trying to make a career out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had some knee problems when I was in the Army, so at Fort Leonard Wood, and they sent me back home.
Let me ask you a question. In your military experience, do you think that the military, to a degree, I shouldn't say the military itself, let's say some of the people in the hierarchy of the military are really racist?
I haven't personally experienced it, but I've talked to a few people, and it seems they kind of blur the line with military protocol versus racism.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like if they have something against you, then maybe you might be the one they send out to go do something, a task or something that they wouldn't give someone they liked.
Sure.
Send over there. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, I mean, like, that's what I can think. Like, if the task was cleaning a pigsty, they're not gonna send somebody they like. They're gonna send you because they don't like you.
That's what society.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So that's how I see it. But then they use the military protocol and chain of command and your orders and stuff to try to reinforce that. That's why they're doing it, but it's not a racial issue, and actually it is.
Let me ask you this, because the transition of the military, especially dealing with women. When I was in, as I talk often, that when I was in, men were men and women were men.
they look like it anyway. Some of them do.
But let me ask you this. Do you, in your experience, do you see the sexism in the military with the treatment of women now in the military?
I saw it a little bit, but then, you know, there are a lot of servicemen that treat women the way women should be treated. You know what I'm saying? Even in the military, you know what I'm saying? It's not even about, most time they say it's just, this is military. You know what I'm saying? The military, and this is what you got to do. This is what you volunteer to do. This is what you came in to do. So in the military, male or female, you're a soldier.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? So other than that, I haven't really seen, there's some people, you know, on the lower levels that hadn't really gotten that respect. Yeah, but they probably would act that way as a civilian as well. So, but other than that, I've seen more men come in to a woman's defense more so than the sexism part of it. I mean, because it's there. So if someone's got to defend a woman, I mean, somebody has to offend her. Right. So there's that sexism, you know. But like I said, if the person is offending a woman, then that's probably how he was or she was before they came in the military. They just haven't got that, indoctrination yet.
And it's very true. But let me share this with you. And this is probably a little harder for some people to understand. But when I was in the military, and then I thought about women being in the military today, I am the kind of man who is a defender of women. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I say a defender, it would be hard for me to even conceive being in a battle situation, as we know that a lot of women are in battle situations now, to not want to defend a woman. So therefore, in doing such, not only am I putting or compromising my mission, but I'm putting my own self in danger. And I think, you know, even today, I think that if I was in the military and in a combat situation, I would be more keen to jumping in front of a bullet to protect a woman than sitting there saying, she's doing her job, this is what I'm doing my job. You follow me? I mean, it's just, my nature tells me to protect womanhood, okay?
I get it.
And I think that, in my heart, I think that that is probably the drawback of women being in the military, being in a combat situation, not demeaning the women at all.
Yeah, right. I get you.
But do you have that sense as well?
Yeah, I did when I was in. I did kind of have that sense, you know, to be protective of a woman, even if I'm not involved with her. I can see that as if you was involved with her some kind of way,
sure,
romantically. I definitely can see that because there are a lot of couples in the military. But at the same time, you have to look at it from the other side and kind of respect their ability. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, even though we have this tendency as men to protect women, we still have to look at women and say they have the right to defend. If they got the
sure
skill level,
sure,
you know what I'm saying, and they're gung-ho and they're ready to do what they got to do, not maybe snap them out of it for a hot second because they might be kind of stunned, depending on what's going on. But once they get going, then I need her just as much as she need me, and trying to defend her might get me killed.
Let me share this with you, or just ask you your opinion before we get into your music. One of the big things right now is this transgender situation. And one of the things that have coming about, in fact, I can't remember. I know one school system has, and I'm not sure if it's nationwide yet, but they're not allowing transgender women to participate in women's sports. And the reason behind it is they are talking about the superiority of the male, the way the male is built from the get-go, rather than somebody transgendering becoming, you know, a female and vice versa. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think that if a person makes the decision to change their gender, that they should be allowed to participate in women's sports or vice versa, men's sports?
I don't think gender has anything to do with it. If you have the physical, athletic ability to compete, now, I'm going to take football. This is my favorite sport.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, there was a serious hit yesterday.
We're going to talk about that a bit.
There was a serious hit yesterday. I think it was in the Cincinnati game.
Mm-hmm.
A guy going across the middle, and he got popped really, really hard. And I think they had to carry him off the field.
Yes,
but
they did.
That kind of thing, if a woman can handle that, cool. I don't think most women can handle a hit like that. These boys in the NFL, they're not playing. They're trying to hit you. They're trying to hit you hard. They're trying to let you know not to come this way. And I don't know if women – I'm pretty sure they could handle it if they wanted to, if they had that mindset. I just don't think too many of them would, because those are some heavy hits.
Well, let's take another sport. Let's take basketball, for instance.
Okay.
The ball is smaller.
Yeah.
The and this is professional.
Right.
The rim, if I remember correctly, is not the same height. And they made those allegations. I mean, they made that correction, if you will, because they're women. Okay.
Right.
Now, do you really think that Candace Parker, great as a basketball player Candace was, an incredible player, do you think she can match up with LeBron James? Or do you think she can match up with, even from the height standpoint of view, with a Patrick Ewing? I mean, I don't see that.
Well, if you take a man the same height as a woman and kind of, well, outside of her, you know, features to make her female, but basically same weight and height, defense is defense. You know, if you can put lockdown defense on somebody, I don't care if you're LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson, if you can put defense on them and you got ball skills, you got handles, you got ups, you know what I'm saying, you quick, just like anybody else, you should be. When they started the WNBA, I heard they couldn't dunk in the beginning for some reason. So I was like, I don't understand why girls couldn't dunk like guys could dunk. If they can dunk the ball, let them dunk the ball. If they got handles on the ball, let them shake you like anybody else. I've seen women, you know, break a dude's ankles on the crossover, you know what I'm saying, because they're just that good. But I don't think gender has anything to do with it.
It has everything to do with it. I'll tell you why. First of all, you can take a woman who's 146 pounds, like a man that's 146 pounds. If you take the body mass of the way women are built, bone structure-wise and physical-wise, trust me, the same weight, there's no way they can compete because our bodies are built differently. Okay?
Well, yeah, men are more muscular, but you can build that up. Build a female.
Let me finish. I don't care how much you build up the muscle structure, and I'm talking from a medical standpoint. I got a little experience in that. There's no way that a woman at 146 pounds match with a man of 146 pounds can overpower him. It don't happen. Now, they can compete with him. I'm not going to argue that. But eventually, because of the way the male structure and their bodies are built, they're not going to be to overpower them to the degree of matching up skills. Now, skill is one thing, okay? You can do crossovers. I mean, like the young lady plays with the Harlem Globetrotters. Fantastic ball handler. Nope, without a shadow of a doubt. But put her up against Steph Curry physically, okay? Forget the ball handling skill, but physically put her against Steph Curry. And they're about the same weight. Not the same height. Well, they may be the same height. Do you really think that she can physically outbully Curry? Can't happen.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen Curry on the drive, you know what I'm saying, and get in there, go into the hole on multiple occasions. And I'm not saying that he's weak or not. I don't think he's as strong as some of the other male players dominating the game. But he has a basketball is one of them things that's like almost to me like a finesse game. You know what I'm saying?
I tell you what, let's change that. Let's go to boxing. Let's go to boxing.
Okay.
Muhammad Ali's daughter was an incredible boxer.
Right.
By any stretch of the imagination. Right. I mean, it is what it is. But if you match the weight and skill to a male boxing her, there's no way she's going to win that battle. No way. Because the body structure itself and the whole gene thing itself renders that she's not going to be able to empower this man. Now, she might be able to finesse him like Ali finessed everybody, okay, that he did.
Yeah.
But Ali won the battle before he went to the ring because he talked about everybody.
Talked about you, yeah.
But there's no way that she's going to be able to overpower that man.
She might not be able to overpower him, but the other part you got to forget about when it comes to sports or any kind of athletics, anything physical, it's also mind over matter. And there have been people who have gone in, males against other males. They've obviously been outclassed and outskilled, but they still have the determination to get in there and get it done, hook or crook.
So you think that, forget the, just like the, how to put this, just like the Miss America contest, when they used to have Miss Black America versus Miss America contest, and then finally somebody in their wisdom said, screw this. Beauty is beauty.
Beauty is beauty.
Okay, so that's what they did. But let's look at this. So you think that the WBA, why have the WBA? Why just not have basketball and let everybody play? And I'll tell you why. Because I guarantee you, if they try to blend this sport, there'll be way fewer women, probably less than 10% of the NBA with women.
I don't know. I think if you took all the WNBA and merged it and filtered it out through the NBA teams, I think there will be a lot of women who would love to go up against LeBron and Curry and all the rest of them and be highly successful with it.
Wait. Whether they like to or not, it's immaterial.
Well, I'm just saying, I think they would accept the challenge.
Accepting the challenge is immaterial. What is material is this. Will they be able to perform at the level that an NBA player could perform at?
Absolutely think if you took off all the locks, if you, because I know that women, I believe, I think the WNA has different rules, slightly different rules than men or expectations of men. But if I think you let them play the way, because these women have been playing WNBA for several years, but they also been playing on the blacktop, and they play with other dudes outside of the playground.
Some women, but
I mean,
some
of them. I mean, if you're playing basketball, if to get good to get into any professional league, you're not just playing in the gym all the time. Sometimes you're playing in the playground.
Let me say something to you. We do that from a culture standpoint of view, from being black.
Right.
White folk don't. You have very few white women that are playing on the blacktop. That's real.
Okay. I don't know that. I can't say that.
I mean, come on. How many? Let me ask you a question. Be honest. How many white women have you seen playing on the blacktop?
Hello.
I've seen a few.
No, answer the question.
How many? Over the years,
I've seen 10. I'm just
in my lifetime. I mean,
all I'm saying to you is this: with all things compared together. Mm-hmm. Okay, take all the blocks off. I guarantee you, you're not going to have the NBA more, even at 10% of women. Period. It ain't going to happen because in order to do that, we would have to go through a massive genetic change, making things equal. Let me share this. Let me share this with you. Let's take women for instance, which is very true. There's no man, to my knowledge, scientific knowledge, could bear the pain of childbirth.
Correct.
Because the other thing is that their bone structure allows them to expand the bone to allow children to come out of the uterus.
Right.
Okay? Now, our vagina, I'm sorry. No man could do that.
Right. Nope.
So, in saying that, the same thing applies in reverse. You can't compare the physical makeup of a woman to a man. You just can't. There's certain things that they do very well. Pain is one of them. They endure unbelievable pain, mm-hmm. Okay? They say that childbirth is close to death, and I believe it, okay? But no man's going to be able to do that. The same thing applies in reverse. That's all I'm saying. Well, let's not relate it to something because there's a couple other things I want to discuss with you. I want to get to your music. One, talk to me about your music and how you arrived at becoming a musician and creating the music that you've created.
Well, I've always been around music since I was a little boy. So I used to live at my grandmother's house. So she had a piano there, and she had a stereo, a record player. So I would listen to the records. I would tinkle around and play on the piano and figure things out. And as I was getting older, and then when I got into school, I got into band. So
what instrument do you play?
In band, I was playing saxophone. Okay. I started out with alto saxophone, but I always tinkled around on my grandmother's piano, and mm-hmm. maybe had a few, three or four lessons on the piano. Never finished out the whole virtuoso as far as being a piano player.
Mm-hmm.
But I taught myself how to do different things because I had music running around in my head, didn't know how to get it out. So mm-hmm. I started messing around with the piano, trying to figure out how to get this music out of my head, and I had to teach myself how to play piano.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not quite as orthodox as most people learn piano.
Sure, sure. Let's do we have a clip or a music thing we can play right quick, or are we still working on that?
Let me pull up. Was you in the
line? Yes.
Okay, while he's doing that, so the music that you're working on now that you're trying to get out, what was the inspiration for that?
Some of his life experience, a lot of it is the sounds I heard growing up in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I liked a lot of groups, but to my dismay, I didn't take a lot of information about who the groups were, most of them. If they wasn't actually really popular, you know, that talked about all the time, I'm just realizing now, I just turned 54. And
you were 54 10 years ago.
I wish. No.
Push it up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We're working on here. Ready?
Keep going.
All right. We got a song here. Let me see, Mr. Tyrone. Hold on. 1 second. Yeah, come up. All right. We got this song, Runaway Love. Which one you want me to play?
Meanwhile.
Okay. We're going to play Meanwhile. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
you didn't have a man, he was dying, dying from the fire. All the streets were closed in the downtown shore, and it goes like this. There's no passion in life, and you're smiling back at me. Don't know who you are, but the feeling's right. Guess we'll have to wait and see. But I know it's the time before the storm tonight. And love has a greater day. There's a part of me that wants to hold you close. In depression, hunger, you, I can be the one you need. I can be the one you need tonight. Meanwhile, keep it to myself, walking down 6th Avenue. But I smile, knowing all the crazy things my heart wants to do. Ooh, ooh, I feel it in the air, nothing else can help. That night is in public.
Wow.
Will you have me now? You'll be my prince, I'm seeing just and waiting for you to...
Wow, it's great, man.
Thank you, thank you.
Pretty heavy. What was the inspiration for that song?
I had just put the music together. See, I don't write lyrics and I don't sing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just making tracks after tracks after track. I put that together and I went out and looked for someone on the internet and whatnot, and she responded, and she said she liked the song, and I sent it to her.
Wow.
So I sent her the music. She's already into music as well, so she had her own little producer. They went to the studio, they laid down the tracks, and they sent them back to me.
Wow. It's okay. What is your plans for your music and getting it out to people? Oh, by the way, the call-in number is 515-605-9800. And before I allow them to answer this question, I got to pay some bills. First of all, you're being brought to you by DigitalGuard.com. Let me share this with you. If you got a security problem, even if you don't, if you just want to take care of security for your home or business, you want to contact DigitalGuard at www.preventbusinesscrime.com for your business and www.preventhomecrime.com for your home. One of the most sophisticated and adventurous, I should say, security system you can possibly get. If you're talking about protecting your family, which is paramount, especially in the age we are in today, make sure you contact www.preventhomecrimes.com for your home and www.preventcrimes.com for your business. That's Digital Guard, something special for you. Also, let me let you know about our lineup here, our radio lineup at yazaradio.com. Moving forward from Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Thursday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., hosted by Dwayne Abernathy. My show, you see, is Controversy with Stephen B. That's Monday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., where we're going to talk about several things and talk about some people, because I'm going to get to that later on today, too. And the TV lineup, hey, let me tell you something. You got to check out Culture Kings on the SIB TV network on our station. That's Sunday. And what's the time? Abernathy, what's the time? Time for Culture Kings.
Culture Kings comes on Sundays.
Yes, what time?
All day long, because it's a loop. So from midnight into midnight, it just loops.
Okay.
So yeah, okay. All day. Yep.
And Wednesday, Pep and Snap. That's on the One God TV channel on the Yazoo Network. You got to check that out. It's pretty interesting as well.
And on Saturday, Yaza Radio Raw on the Yaza Radio Raw channel. And let me go back to Culture Kings, because these are two brilliant brothers that have came from various different backgrounds, but they come together to discuss some things that are important for you and me, and it's raw. They don't mess around. They talk very seriously about things that are affect our community. So that's, don't forget, this Sunday, Culture Kings on the SIB TV network. Also, Culture Talk Radio, on Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 12, and Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we've got my girl, Kay Marie. You got to check it out. It's awesome. You're going to enjoy the show, especially you ladies. And don't forget, Talk to Tana on Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's hosted by Tanya B. So back to our interview with Tyrone Steele and talking about his music. So where do you want to go? Where do you want to take your music?
Wherever it can go. There's no limits. I want it to be in movies. I want it to be in video games, talk show, but anywhere where media can be played, even if it's in a movie and it's on, they have it portrayed as on the radio, if somebody walks by, you know, or a car driving by. I don't care where it goes. I want it to go out everywhere.
You know what? You walk to the right situation, because on our network, we also have independent, we have our own independent movie channel. Okay, where we show independent movies, and we allow people to produce movies, and that's going to be coming on strong pretty soon. We also have radio. We also have TV. We have every mode of media you can possibly utilize to put your product out. So I just want to share that with you. And let's play another clip of his music, and we'll finish the interview and talk about some other things, because I got to get to some stuff important. I really do. I'm on a roll right now, especially my football. I got to talk about the football thing. You stick around and talk football with us if you like as well. So, and the next song we're about to play is called...
I can't hear myself.
Oh. Okay. See, it's a good thing about doing this, because we can interrupt. We can talk. We can do all kinds of stuff. In fact, we clown up in here. And in fact, we do a little clowning today. Check this out.
By the way, this is my mother singing.
Your mother?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this.
Very different, time around. It's hip. And you said that was your mom singing?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool, man. I mean, anytime you can involve family in a project like that, it shows a little extra love. So how can people contact you, number one, in reference to your music?
Well, I'm on SoundCloud, Nas Productions. It's D-NAS Productions on SoundCloud. That would probably be the best one right there.
Okay, that's good. Our call-in number is, as soon as I find I got a mess on my desk here, in my nicotine-stained hands, talking with half my brain tied behind my back. Oh, it's here somewhere. Oh, it's, oh, here it is. It's 515-605-9800. Give me a call in, and so we can discuss, you know, not only his project, but some of the other things that we're doing here in Yaza Radio. Tyrone, thank you for stopping by and visiting. Really appreciate you. We'll talk a little later, okay?
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Appreciate it.
We'll take a pause for the calls, a little break. This is Stephen B.
Never, never, my darling, never you be, never, never, my darling, never you be. Yeah, my mama and them somehow disappeared from the scene and left my old team. Had to find a new approach to an old dream. And it's not to take a shot at my old team. I just want you to see this is me. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can. Cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. Cause there's no me without out of you, and all I wanna be is true. Alright, and all I wanna be is true. Apologies if I ever let you down. So much didn't happen that it's hard to talk about. So many losses that my lawyer said don't talk about it. Just had to pray and keep it cool till I can walk about it. Came home and my sister raised a child. Kinda hurt me cause I could have my own now. I lost my baby, damn, it's really getting home now. I just had to learn. This is me. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can. Cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. To the sky, Lord, why do I cry when no one is looking? Is the blame for this pain even caused by the shame of this fame I've been given? My pride don't cause me to hide my true feelings. Cause I can only be real. Hey, cause I can only be real. And all I wanna be is true.
All right. And all I wanna be is true. Back live, this is Stephen B doing the key of E, excellence for you and me, with part of my brain tied behind my back because it's all most of you can handle. The call-in number is 515-605-9800. So tune in. Right now we're going to play a very interesting clip that came through the news feed today. Uh-oh. I did something wrong. This is a tragedy.
She died at just 30 years old. The beauty queen and lawyer passed away on Sunday morning after apparently jumping from a 60-story high-rise in Manhattan, according to police. The New York Post was first to report the sad news, adding that authorities said Chris lived on the building's ninth floor and was last seen on the 29th floor terrace. Law enforcement told the paper that Chris left behind a note instructing for her belongings to be left to her mother. Further details reportedly remain under investigation. Chris' family mourned her tragic loss in a statement to Access Hollywood, saying in part, "In devastation and great sorrow, we share the passing of our beloved Chesley. Her great light was one that inspired others around the world with her beauty and strength. She cared, she loved, she laughed, and she shined." The message went on to honor Chris' dedication to giving back as a social justice activist, noting that she, quote, "embodied love and served others, and that her impact will live on as a daughter, sister, friend, mentor, and colleague." Chris had worked as a correspondent on Extra and was also a civil litigation attorney, reportedly licensed to practice in North and South Carolina. She also held an MBA degree, according to her Instagram bio. After being crowned Miss USA in 2019, she placed in the top 10 at the Miss Universe pageant. That same year, Chris spoke out about self-care in a Facebook video for World Mental Health Day.
Hey, y'all. I do a lot to make sure that I maintain my mental health. And the most important thing that I did is talk to a counselor. She's really easy to talk to. She gives me great strategies, especially if I'm sad or happy or have a busy month ahead of me. So I definitely recommend that. When I'm not talking to my counselor, I take time at the end of every single day to just decompress. I unplug, I shut my phone off, I don't answer messages. I just sit and watch my favorite movie, either The Devil Wears Prada or Pocahontas.
The TV personality's last Instagram post was shared just hours before her death and included the caption, "May this day bring you rest and peace."
That it's unbelievable and inconceivable tragedy. This young lady who was brilliant, beautiful, took her life. So we think at this time, you know, one of the things that was said to me prior to coming on air was, did she commit suicide or was she pushed? I don't know. I'm not going to get into that argument or that discussion. What I will say is this, that people have to understand that whether it's Simone Biles, whether it's Krista, whether it's me or you, that the whole thing of mental health, because that's what I do, is something that we really have got to concentrate on, because what is happening now is that with so much going on in the world today, those things that are very depressing for you and me has began to take a toll on our society. And we really, really have to be very, very mindful of looking at signs, because I know of no one, you know, when you sit and think about it, has not given you signs of what's going on with them mentally. So let's really, really tighten up our game in reference to this, because, you know, it's a tragedy, unbelievably tragedy, that such a brilliant, beautiful woman of color, a lawyer, a philosopher, a TV host of one of the most popular shows, took her life. God bless her and her family with a lot of love. I'm reaching out because I know that you're mourning such a sad event. But at the same time, please, America, please, especially those of color, look very closely at the mental health of your loved ones and your friends and your family. And if you see a problem, or if you think there's a problem, and it may not be, you know, encourage them to seek some help. The call-in number is 515-605-9800. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention. Now, with that being said, let me switch hats for a second and get on sports. I have no idea, none, what happened this weekend. What I do know is this, that the favorites have all lost. I mean, I have no idea. But it's changed the whole culture of football. And you know, already the conspiracy theorist is out. Well, Pat Mahomes threw the game and this, that, and the other. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, it happens in sports. All I know is, for all you betting people and all you authorities on athletics, especially football, you got a big shock this weekend. The Super Bowl is going to be played by the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not sure who I favor, only because I'm closer to Cincinnati. I guess I'll find a kinship to them. But the truth of the matter is, it should be one of the best Super Bowls ever, because, number one, you've got two quarterbacks who are dynamically different, yet, they show flashes of brilliancy, but by any stretch of the imagination, they're not at the top of their game. They are just playing good football. And let me share this with you. When you talk about a dramatic passing of the torch, you couldn't get any more dramatic than this. Tom Brady is not in the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is not in the Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger is not in the Super Bowl. All those men have spent, for the most part, over the last 12 years, have been somewhere in the scenario of sports, as far as football is concerned. But now you've got the Patrick Mahomes, and you've got the Joshes, and you got the Wilsons. These guys are coming into their own. And when I say fantastic athletes, by any stretch of the imagination, they're magnificent at what they do. So right now we have a changing of the torch. If you have any input into that, please call in at 515-605-9800. The most dramatic of the whole football scenario had to be the Kansas City game. I mean, Kansas City, a great team by any stretch of the imagination, with a phenomenal quarterback in Mahomes, had the lead 21-3 and ended up losing. I mean, when we talk about two dynamic halves of a game, the first half, it was so dominant, it was unbelievable. second half, the wheels fell off. For some reason, the wheels fell off, and therefore they lost. So I want to say this. So I want to salute everybody that was in this weekend's game because it was a phenomenal weekend. It really was. The football was excellent, just outstanding and excellent, full of shocks and surprises, full of plays that will be highlights for years to come. And it should be a great, great Super Bowl. And from what I understand, this is only the second time in the history of the NFL that the Super Bowl is being played, the home team or one of the teams are in their home stadium. Last year, Tampa Bay, this year, Los Angeles. So I just want to hear, you know, some of the people's comments about yesterday. Tyrone, are you still around? You can make some comments.
I got a comment.
What's the comment? Bernstein got a comment.
Mr. Tyrone, you can sit right here, Mr. Tyrone.
Here we go.
This is Bernstein. You know I'm going in.
Okay. What's your comment?
Patrick Mahomes was paid off.
See, what I just say, man? You were here. What I said was, I am not sure whether it's conspiracy theory or not.
I'm sure of it.
What I am sure of is, you know, the game 21-3, fantastic quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, came back and played horribly. It matters even worse than that. They lost. So, you know, I mean, in some of the passes they threw, the one he threw under that bounced off the ground. Come on, now we've seen him throw that pass 1,000 times.
Right.
Not once has it ever hit the ground. They might have missed it, but never once did it bounce off the ground. So, you know, there's something to be said to that.
This is, I'm going to throw it like this. I think the NFL said, look, Kansas City has been here in the finals the past two Super Bowls. They've been the last AFC final game the last five seasons, the past two Super Bowls. And they said, well, I guess somebody
three.
Else in here, and it was the Bengals.
Three in a row.
What? Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's just two. They won one, then lost one to Tampa Bay last year.
Three. Check it out.
The year before they lost to New England in the AFC Championship game.
They have been in the Super Bowl 1-1.
They've been there five times.
And they've been in the Super Bowl three to five times and 1-1.
They lost to New England Patriots in the AFC Championship.
Pull it up. So we can get the facts straight. But the bottom line is this, no matter what we say, the truth of the matter is, do I think there was a conspiracy theory? That I ain't sure of. It stinks. I know that. Regardless, it stinks. And I was really surprised at Mahomes' attitude after the game. He didn't seem like the quarterback that lost the game. I mean, it was almost like, oh, well, you know, I got paid. The
thing was with Brady when he lost.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm not sure what the heck is going on with that. But all I know is this. And for the most part, it was very surprising football. Great, there's some great plays. I mean, there's some that's going to be highlights for years, like that play that Mahomes did to the first quarter.
Oh, he almost
unbelievable.
Got sacked?
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God, that was phenomenal.
But, you know, and does it throw a sour note on the Super Bowl? It kind of depends on who you're talking to. To me, I think it's going to be an exciting game. I think that Matt Stafford deserves to be there. I mean, he's been struggling for so long. And you know what the funny part about it is? I was talking to one of my friends from Detroit who's a dead, diehard Lion fan. Mm-hmm. And his attitude was, I'm happy. I'm really happy for Stafford. And I was like, really? You know, because you guys kind of kicked him out, mm-hmm. sort of. And he says, well, you know, sometimes people make stupid mistakes. That was probably our stupidest mistake. But he said they're actually pretty happy about Stafford making it. And San Francisco in itself is a story because, I mean, this guy is not the greatest quarterback. In fact, he may not even be a good quarterback, but he seems to win. His team seems to win. And people keep saying, well, it's not just him. Listen, this guy has come up with, and he doesn't throw long, okay? He doesn't do the great things that some of the great quarterbacks does, but he wins. And I guess it's all that matters. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a good game. Like I said earlier before, I favor Cincinnati only because I'm close to Cincinnati, okay? But, yeah, it's going to be a good game. What do you think, Tyrell?
I got it. Y'all ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Starting from 2015, You had... Hold on, 2017. New England versus Atlanta. Philadelphia versus New England. New England versus the Rams. Kansas City Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers. Tampa Bay against Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
So Kansas City Chiefs been in the AFC Championships the past 5 years, but they only been in the Super Bowl the past 2 years because the year is when New England beat them in the AFC Championship.
Okay. That's why it's good check factor. Exactly. But you know, the interesting thing about Mahone is this.
Paid off.
With the kind of money he's making, I don't know how they can pay him off. I'm just telling you. But the interesting thing about Pat Mahone is this. As I said before, this was probably the most significant changing of regards that I've ever seen. I mean, you know, we've been so long with having Tom Brady and Rodgers and Roethlisberger up there at the top. And now the Russell Wilsons and the Pat Mahone and what's the kid's name that plays for the Rams?
I didn't get his.
But anyway, these guys are emerging into being the next generation of great quarterbacks. So I thought that was interesting. And it's significant that it was this year only because it was so dynamic. It wasn't like one or two players. We're talking about three of the arguably the best quarterbacks in the business. And now you've got this younger generation coming that, for all general purposes, are magnificent, which means that I think that they're also the Hall of Famers as well. What do you think?
I feel like the quarterback role in itself is changing. When Michael Vick came in some years ago,
mm-hmm.
he changed how quarterbacks are looked at now. You know, when you got a quarterback that can run for 80 yards for a touchdown and no one can catch him, then all of a sudden now teams are looking at, oh, well, maybe I need a quarterback that can run. You know what I'm saying? Not just scramble, but run, you know what I'm saying, and move the ball forward. And I think Patrick Mahomes and some of these other quarterbacks are along that line of quarterbacks that now – even though it's only 11 players on the field, you have to count for the quarterback now. Because if you got a quarterback that can run, that stresses the defense.
And you know what's really significant about these young guys coming in? Now, don't get me wrong. The NFL has always been hard-hitting. But these guys here, when I say durable, mm-hmm. I mean, these guys, first of all, they don't get hit that much. But when they do get hit, these guys bounce right back up and get back in their game. And I thought, man, especially some of the hits that Roethlisberger took. I mean, if it was an average quarterback, of course he's a big dude though too.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have knocked him out. These guys, these young guys here, their bodies and their mental strength and their attitude and even their agility is unbelievable.
Yeah,
phenomenal. So where are you at? Who do you think is going to take it?
I don't know. If I didn't follow Cincinnati or the Rams, I'm not sure what's what. Yeah, once the Colts lost, I was out of it, basically.
Yeah.
So once the Colts missed the playoffs, I really didn't pay much attention to what's going on left. But I don't know. I feel like Cincinnati beat, I thought, probably was the best team out there. I really thought Kansas City was going to take it all.
Right.
But since they didn't make it, My thought is Cincinnati, because I think they beat the better team. And with that being said, I think Kansas City is much better than the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can beat Kansas City, they should be able to beat the Rams, even in the home.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to shoot some predictions out to you, and let me see what you think about it. Next year, here's what I think. I think Aaron Rodgers is definitely gone from Green Bay. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to end up in Pittsburgh. And even though, and I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to say this, don't get pissed off, America. The Indianapolis Colts, who's my home team, love them to death, they got a problem getting black quarterbacks, okay? Now, I'm not sure why, but they tend to not want to lean towards that. But with that being said, I would not be surprised that Russell Wilson ends up in Indianapolis. I would not be surprised. It's going to be either that or Chicago, but I'm favoring Indianapolis, number one, because it's my home team. And number two, you know, the quarterback we had this year, I can't take anything away from him, especially the last seven games. Boy played very good football, better than he's ever played. But I do think that Russell Wilson is going to end up here now. That's my first couple of predictions. What do you think about that?
That's mind-blowing right there. I think we might get Russell Wilson.
What about the Steelers getting
Roethlisberger? I didn't hear about it. He's coming out this year?
Oh, yeah. He retired.
Retired? Okay.
Yeah, he definitely retires.
Well, Aaron Rodgers said he didn't want to play for a team just doing a rebuild.
Right.
So I don't know any team that's not, I'll put it this way, in my opinion, as an owner, I'm not an owner, but if I was an owner of a team, I would always be constantly rebuilding my team because I always want the top best that I can get. Because to me, the end of the goal is the Super Bowl. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So I have yet, and that's what I wish the Colts would do, is actually start building for that. They don't seem like they're building for that since Peyton Manning left.
Well, but
can I add something?
Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers going to the Denver Broncos. He's already in negotiation with the Denver Broncos.
Nah.
You don't think so?
No.
And
I'm going to tell you why.
Colts had a black quarterback. They don't want a black quarterback for the Colts.
They didn't give him a chance, I don't think.
Well, wait a minute. Let me say this about what you just said first about Denver. I don't think that he's going to Denver, and the reason I don't think it is because, see, first of all, what people don't understand, but I'm going to tell you something. The Indianapolis Colts had the chance to get Aaron Rodgers last year. Peyton Manning came here and lobbied very strongly to get him. But what happened was Aaron Rodgers had made a move and it was a done deal. The reason I don't think he's going to go to Denver is because I don't see Aaron Rodgers wanting to fall behind a Peyton Manning or that whole culture of Denver. Now, I can see him going to Pittsburgh for two reasons. Number one, Pittsburgh is not one of those teams that are rebuilding. They got strong defense without any shadow of a doubt. The players are basically young. You don't have a lot of players that are retiring out of there. So that's not a rebuilding situation. So I can see Aaron Rodgers fitting here, and he plays that style of football. That is a fact. The other thing is, in reference to Russell Wilson, why do I say the Colts will probably get him if they want him is because of this. Even though they have a history of not taking care of black quarterbacks, right now, they are on the brink of success because they're not rebuilding. They got one hell of an offensive line. They got a phenomenal running back, second to none. Obviously, look at his record. They have a good, solid defense, and they have a receiving core. Now, Ursay, I think right now, in his mind, whether he likes it or not, is of the mentality, if Russell Wilson wants to come here, and one of the problems that people have said that Russell Wilson would not come to cold weather because of Sierra and her being close to her career in Hollywood. And I can accept that. But Ursay right now, if Sierra wanted his private plane to fly back and forth to Los Angeles every day, he'd provide it. So, yeah, I think that we have a great chance of getting Russell Wilson. Great chance. And in either situation, the Colts, just like Pittsburgh, are not sort of in a rebuilding situation because of their lines. Okay? So that's why I said I think Russell Wilson is going to go there. The question I want to ask both of y'all is, where's Prescott going?
Prescott.
Oh,
Dallas getting rid of Prescott?
He wants to go.
I thought he signed a
franchise contract with Dallas?
I don't know. I haven't heard. He signed a long-term contract, but right now there's a lot of bad blood between Prescott and the owner.
Well, he's going to Tampa Bay. He's taking Tom's place. Tom's out here.
You know what? I never thought of that.
Russell's going to Tampa.
Tom didn't actually say he was retiring, though.
He still ain't said it, but he's retired. Tom Brady, but let me tell you what.
Tom Brady's going to retire, and here's what I think happened
because of Tom Brady and his love for the game. The media put out the message before Tom Brady wanted the message to come out, primarily because Tom Brady didn't want his exit to overshadow the Super Bowl in the playoffs, because that's the kind of guy he is. Now, his company, put out the thank you for great work and all the years you've given us, and they pulled that off, the media, okay? So I think that Tom Brady is coming out. I just think that he wants to come out on his terms, and he wants to come out so it doesn't hurt the game. Because if you think about it, this whole weekend, we're watching great football, but the whole conversation was Tom Brady retiring. And I don't think that Tom Brady wanted that to go out that way. I really don't.
I think he's going. I can see that.
Let me ask you another question. You heard about Oakland, right?
No.
Josh McDaniels. Now, let me tell you, Josh McDaniels, if you don't remember, Josh McDaniels signed to be the coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Signed. Then he 2 weeks before, he changed his mind 2 weeks before the beginning of the training season. And that's how we got the coach we have today, which I'm glad because he's a man of integrity. That wasn't being a man of integrity. But he's going to Oakland. That was announced this morning. So, yeah, I hope he has success. I don't like the guy. I really don't, because what I think he did was just really wrong to any franchise as well. You're going to sign a contract, promise you're going to do a press conference, and then walk out. The other thing is, let me ask you this. What do you think about them talking about changing the rule? I don't know if you heard or not, about overtime. Because
are they changing it?
Well, here's what they're talking about. Well, first of all, let's do this. The person who was one that flipped the coin toss in overtime, 98% of the time has won the game because they get the ball first. What they're talking about doing is keeping the same rule, but the only way that you win the game is through a two-point conversion. You follow me? I mean, the rule is, you know, whoever scores first and then the other team gets a chance, all kind of crap. And that's so. Now what they're talking about is each team have a new chance to win the game. Then after that's done, then they would have to score a touchdown in order to actually win the game, do a two-point conversion.
I don't understand how a two-point conversion would be any different than just.
I don't either. But that's what they're talking about doing. That's what they're talking about doing.
We was talking about that last night when Cincinnati was playing. They was talking about when they tied the game up and they went into overtime and the ball exchanged hands. I think it was an interception or something of that nature. It changed hands.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, well, all they got to do now is get a – they still can't win without a touchdown.
Right.
And I was like, no. The ball changed hands.
Mm-hmm.
They both had a shot at the end zone.
Right.
You know, even though they didn't make it to the end zone, they both had the opportunity to
right.
go.
So right.
Now they both had the ball one time in overtime. Next score wins.
Right.
And that's why I didn't understand why Cincinnati, with 10 minutes or so left in the period, went back and did so many downs. First chance I got inside my field goal range, I'm taking that field goal. I'm ending the game.
Now, that's very true. But here's what they're talking about. I'm sorry to eat while I'm talking. But here's what they're talking about. They're talking about now that in order to win the game, not only do you have to score a touchdown, in order to win the game, you have to do a two-point conversion. It can't be a simple kick, but a two-point conversion.
That ain't going to work.
It don't make sense.
That would extend the game longer.
Forever.
It could be all night.
You know how hard it is to get two-point conversion?
Exactly. With that being said, they're already tight on two-point conversions as it
right.
is.
Right. Exactly.
So now to make that the one thing that wins the game,
no.
we might be another 3 hours trying to get a two-point
like
conversion.
Baseball, right. It'd be like baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah, but that's what they're talking
16
about.
16 innings in baseball because you can't break the tie.
Well, that's what they're talking about. I think it's kind of stupid, too. But and I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that the others are going to agree with that. But, yeah, that's what they're talking
that
about.
Mean, the
other thing that concerns me about this whole overtime rule thing is this. Even if, let's say, for instance, we both had the ball. Nobody scored. Okay? That can also go on forever and ever and ever. Nobody scores.
Well, it don't work like that, though.
But if it doesn't score, then it goes down to tie. If both teams
not
have
the
ball.
Not in
the
playoffs.
In the playoffs, what
you
they
You got to have a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the playoffs, I think the way explained was they go to, like, the college group. They put the ball, like, on the 30-yard line or something like that. Something crazy like that. So it don't keep going over and over and over.
I know that. You really? Know? Well, I don't know. You know, one of the things that are bad this year is I don't know what's going on in college as far as football is concerned.
Why not? It's the best.
Okay, with that being said, who do you think is going to be the number one draft pick?
The number one draft pick? Well, college.
When it comes to college and the draft picks or whatever, they really only make a big hype if it's a big-time quarterback, like when Michael Vick came out of college or
right.
Joe Burrow.
Right.
But all them other positions, they don't really make a big hype for the draft. Just think about it. Tom Brady was drafted, what, 6 rounds? You know what I'm saying? He was a no-name. And you see what I'm saying? So in college basketball and college football, the draft is totally different. They don't hype up football, not unless you're a quarterback, pretty
and you
much.
Know what, you know what's funny about this? Seeing that,
running back.
Exactly.
Yeah, and central running backs are blue. But outside of that, they don't. Receivers and all that stuff, they don't really.
Check this out.
Football.
With that being said, let's go back to the coach. The Jonathan Taylor was a six-round draft. I never even heard of the guy. I'm gonna be honest with you. I hadn't heard of him. But look at what he did this year. I mean, it's going to be a long time for somebody to break that record. And he's not in the NBA conversation. Now, let me tell you why I think
MVP.
He's not in the NBA conversation.
MVP.
MVP. Here's why. If the Colts would have won just one game in the playoffs, then we'd still be talking about Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he didn't win, or the Colts didn't win, just destroyed his chances. And I think that that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, because still at that, it does not take away from his accomplishments throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
Okay?
I think he should still get him because there's no one close to him in that.
Right.
But I understand what another friend of mine was saying is, since the Colts lost,
mm-hmm.
even though Jonathan Taylor had that great rushing year, mm-hmm. because he lost, every team that's still remaining has the opportunity to gain on that. MVP by doing what they're doing is long still in the playoffs.
And check this out. Not one of those quarterbacks, not one of them is in the conversation of MVPs. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something else happened.
I'm going to tell you who their favorite boy is that they're trying to make sure is Joe Burrow. Whatever, Joe Burrow, they trying to crown him the next Tom Brady. Okay, you won a couple of playoffs games, but Burrow, okay, calm down. Pump your brakes.
Yep. See,
pump your brakes.
See, here's what people don't understand. Only five people actually choose the MVP. Okay, five sportscasters. Yeah, just five. One of them has already came out, and here's what he said. He said under no circumstances would he vote for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is out, but he's still in the conversation, okay? And here's what he said. And he said it on radio. He said, I wouldn't vote for him because the man has shown no integrity based on the fact of the virus.
He lied.
Wait, let me finish telling you. Yeah, you're right. But here's what he also said. He said, and I don't understand why Jonathan Taylor is not in the conversation, because he's in my conversation, and that's probably who I'll vote for. That blew everybody away. Blew him away. And, you know, when you talk about most valuable player of the league, how to put this? Burrow's is no doubt the most valuable player for his team. No doubt.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
But does he really rank to be in the conversation of the MVP of the league?
No.
I don't see that. What do you think?
I don't know much about the guy.
Guess what?
I've heard the name here and there throughout over the years and whatnot, but when it came to quarterbacks, over the years, all I've heard is either Wilson, Brady,
right.
Manning,
right.
Buck, you know what I'm saying? Those. I know a couple of them.
I think the Rams quarterback should be the MVP. He left Detroit.
Yep.
Went to the Rams first season, figured out their playbook, and went to the Super Bowl.
Makes it Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford, that's his name. Yeah.
Stafford, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
even in Detroit, that parting wasn't a good parting. But even in Detroit, you got fans, diehard fans of Detroit. Detroit are saying we're happy for the guy. We want him to win, and that's a lot being said, man. When the way they parted, okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one other question, and then we'll get back to some news.
I got your clip ready for the Supreme Court nominee.
Right. Let me ask one other question. Do you think honestly that owners such as Jerry Jones? And I can't think of the guy who used to own the Oakland Raiders years ago. Al Davis. Do you think
Las Vegas Raiders now.
do you really think those guys are good for football?
What do you mean?
Well, because...
In what way?
Well, their attitude. I mean, and don't get me wrong. Yeah, you own the team. I guess you can do what you want to do. But these guys have coached traditionally from the box. Jerry Jones will come out of the box and come on the field
mm-hmm.
and tell his coach what they do. Do you think that's good for football?
I don't think that's good for anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an organization and some part of the organization is some person in that organization responsible for doing certain things, coming in above, even though you're over that organization,
mm-hmm.
if you come in
and do something in that particular department over that particular manager, to me, that shows not confidence in the manager, because you didn't go through the manager. You went and did it yourself.
Right.
So if you're going down from the box to talk to players without talking to the coach first, that kind of creates a dissension between the player and the coach. Mm-hmm. Because now they're talking to the owner. Why do you need to talk to the coach for? I got the owner's ear personally.
Right.
So the owner is the one responsible for helping me get here to this team or trade me to another team. So if the owner says blah, 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 I'm going with the owner.
Right.
I could see a player doing that, especially if he's one of them high-profile type players, you know what I'm saying?
And see, the NFL
– not good.
See, the NFL, unlike any other sport, first of all, it's a monopoly. It really is, because
I think so.
I think the owners are doing great for the NFL because they keeping up. That's one, what they call it, the good old boy network that you can't penetrate.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. because they are.
Needs to be penetrated.
Put it this way: in baseball, we know they're having a baseball with Mark Schott. In baseball, they can vote you behind out. They don't want you. They can vote your butt out and force you to sell your team. You can't do that in football. They can vote against hate your guts, but they can't force you out of the league because of that, how the organization is set up. Also, let's go back to what we talked about last week. There's nothing closer than slavery than the NFL. It's true. Hey, man, check us out.
I'm thinking sports in general.
No, check us out.
Yeah.
Basketball, baseball, all that stuff. But here's the difference. In football, they come here for the combine. They look at their teeth. Look at their arms, see how they can run, just like slave trade, period.
Yeah.
If, ands, or buts about it, I tell you something, there's no such thing as a guaranteed contract. You can sign a $20 million contract. When they get tired of your butt, they don't want you, guess what? You're walking away with a fraction of the money they promised you. You can't do that in the NBA. You can't do it in baseball.
And the NFL is incentive-based also, too.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
They dangle that money in front of your face like a carrot, but if you get so many touchdowns, so many tackles, so many sacks, then you get that money, so yeah.
I think it's still prevalent in basketball too, because people had a problem with LeBron going from Cleveland to Miami, back to Cleveland and into L.A.
Mm-hmm.
All he did was play the trading game.
But yeah, they can do that.
He worked the business end of his contract.
Can't do it in football. Though.
Can't do that in football. Though. That's what
at all. Okay. No,
he worked it. That's why he can do that.
He can do that in basketball. He can't do that in.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one other thing.
They owe you 1% in football.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one other thing before we go to this. There's no doubt in my mind that Watson is being held as a political prisoner to that team. I'll tell you why.
Who?
Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson. I'll tell you why.
Texans?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a perfect example. Yeah, he's a political. I never thought about it. Like, he is a political prisoner in football. You're right.
See,
I agree.
Right. Let me tell you something. By any stretch of the imagination, the charges on him don't even pass the poo-poo test. Everybody knows it.
Right.
So what do? You hold on to him. Then you can dictate where he goes and how much money you can get for him. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't – listen, the prosecutor's even saying, you know, this case don't make sense.
Right.
But I got to do my job. That's a classic example, man, how the NFL operates.
You know what's so funny? First time I saw the NFL operate like that was with Deion Sanders. When Deion Sanders wanted to leave Dallas,
yep.
When he was playing for San Francisco, when he went to Baltimore and all those other, he was still getting a check from Dallas.
And check this out.
He was still getting a check because that's just how the NFL works.
And
like
let's not leave out the Kaepernick thing.
Oh,
man, I'm going to tell you something.
Another thing.
I'm going to tell you something. No. It's typical NFL. Check this out. All of us grew up in a culture that kneeling is a sign of prayer. All of us did.
Yeah.
But now this man kneels, and all of a sudden now he's a black nationalist, racist, hated, and all that stuff. That makes no sense. They destroyed that man's career. Now, people say, well, no, look, he still made $21 million out of it. Okay, I get that. They had to pay him $21 million. But the truth of the matter is, how many more million did he lose because he wasn't able to fulfill his career? $21 million is nothing for a one-year contract in the NFL for a quarterback.
Nothing.
Right, because he was a quarterback that had the capability to get somebody to the Super Bowl. So imagine if he would have played one of the Super Bowl, he could have ended up getting $100 million worth of endorsements.
Exactly.
Didn't he get that with Nike anyway?
Yeah, he did get an endorsement after Nike, but he could have got the whole concept is they stagnated his growth is what he's saying.
Exactly
they stagnated.
But Saint, you also got to look at the public. You know, saying he stood up. Or I should say kneeled down for a cause, you know, and he said what that cause was. And everybody forgot about his cause. They just bypassed his cause and said, but you're kneeling.
Right. Exactly. It was hijacked.
You're kneeling at the national anthem. And he said, but at the same time, we've been in the military. So
right.
my thing is this, is if you're in the military, you're supposed to protect people and you're supposed to protect the way of life. So if you're kneeling at something that's wrong with our way of life, system, and you refuse to acknowledge it, and you're just going to say kneeling is disrespectful, you're not understanding what's going on.
Exactly.
You're really pulling yourself out, and if I can say this, you're putting your own head up your ass.
That's right.
Basically.
But see, let me share something to you that I don't know about everybody else, but even what I do today, you know, is my other job, is I salute the flag.
Mm-hmm.
When they play the national anthem, I salute the flag. Now, I know a lot of veterans put their hands over the heart and all that stuff, but I salute the flag before they said that we could do it anyway, because that's how I feel. Now, do I think that this country is perfect? No, not even by any stretch of the imagination. But I honor not only my service, but your service, you guys' service as well, but this is where I live. And I'm going to protect my home. I mean, let's be realistic, okay? So, you know, I just think that, how to put this without saying it true. I think that, believe me, you haven't been around my show for a while.
Just say it.
I believe that, once again, racism in this country sneaks in to everything, not only athletics, but in the military.
No, it just does. No, you're wrong. You're wrong on that. It don't sneak in. It was never taken out.
But it's very true. Very true.
It came in earlier in the creation of our country, and it's been in our government. You got to remember, there were several presidents that had slaves.
Well, there are several presidents that happened to be black.
Yeah.
That was
before the current type of government system that we use.
No. Wrong. And Abraham Lincoln.
They said he was black. I've never seen any proof. I don't know. I'm not going to say he's not or whatever, but I've never seen
it. Pull it up. Let me tell you something. In America, if you got 10%, was it 5% blood, that is that of African-American, you're black. They've always maintained that. Now, let me tell you something.
Who was his dad?
Let me finish explaining to you.
Uh-huh.
His father was married to a woman of color prior to the Todd situation. This is his second wife, but Lincoln's mother was black.
Doesn't matter.
I got a question.
His mother's nationality doesn't matter.
I got a question.
It makes him black.
No, it doesn't.
I got a question.
Wait, hold, stop.
Okay.
I want to hear this one.
Because when you're following genealogy, you always go by the father. The father proves your ethnicity. So if you're mixed and your mother's white and your father's black, you're black. If it's the other way around, you're white.
Let me go back.
Because it follows the father.
So in other words, you're saying Barack Obama's not black.
He's not.
He's not. If his father is white.
His father's black.
Barack Obama was black.
So he's black.
His mother was white.
Right.
Okay.
The father has to be black.
The father has to be black.
Listen, you can say all you want about genealogy, okay? But the truth of the matter is this. Anytime the colors mix, let me tell you something. Classic example. I don't care how much white milk you put in chocolate milk, you will never get it chocolate again. I mean, never get it white again.
Once again,
the government, not I, said that if you will have 10% of black blood in you, you're black. That's why people like my mother struggled with this for years. Very, 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 very fair skin, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But she struggled with years, and when they found out that she was black, they kicked her out of Irvington and put her in attic. So let's not get tied up in that because the name of the game is politics.
I understand that.
Okay.
Can I
ask a quick question? Because that's the part I'm trying to figure out amongst us black people. Racism is just like the war on drugs. So why do we waste our time with it? There's so much. It's too much money in racism. People make money off of racism.
And we can't
the people,
racist.
The people who right, we can't be racist.
We ain't got enough of it.
If we got rid of racism, guess who don't have a job no more?
Hello.
A whole lot.
Money.
It's too much money. It's just like drugs. So why do we get caught up in it?
Just like prison. Money.
Yeah, it's like at the end of the day, America is a company that's about commercialism. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, you can sit there and argue with somebody, and they, I don't care, racist, whatever. Okay, now what?
The color in America
is green.
You ain't green, you got problems. But let's get to
I can
something.
See that.
Let's get to something that's really important. Let's talk about the Supreme Court and the president's decision in order to choose a black woman as his nominee for the Supreme Court justice. Could you play that clip for us, please?
Because I'm sure I'm going to piss a lot of people off. But ask me if I care.
If you're scared, say you're scared. Oh, that's right. I forgot to say. When you call in, you don't want to talk, 515-605-9800. If you say to me, if you don't say I ain't scared, then guess what? I'm going to disconnect you. Because the name of the game with me, if you're scared.
About the critically important work of selecting his successor. Choosing someone to sit in the Supreme Court. Choosing someone to sit in the Supreme Court, I believe, is one of the most serious constitutional responsibility a president has. Our process is going to be rigorous. I will select a nominee worthy of Justice Breyer's legacy of excellence and decency. While I've been studying candidates' backgrounds and writings, I've made no decision except one. The person I will nominate will be someone with extraordinary qualifications, character, experience, and integrity. And that person will be the first black woman ever nominated to the United States Supreme Court. It's long overdue in my view. I made that commitment during the campaign for president, and I will keep that commitment. I will fully do what I said I'd do. I will fulfill my duty to select a justice, not only with the Senate's consent, but with his advice. You've heard me say in other nomination processes that the Constitution says seek the advice and consent, but the advice as well of the Senate. I'm going to invite senators from both parties to offer their ideas and points of view. I'll also consult with leading scholars and lawyers.
Check this out. And I'm going to open this up for conversation, but let me share something with you. Those who know me have always known I've made this statement. There's only two free people in this world. It's white men and black women. Okay. I mean, when you look at the history of America, and even though I applaud the president for making the selection of a black woman, here's my problem. We don't have a black man on the Supreme Court. We got a man that's dark, but he has not shown he's black whatsoever, okay? This man has not even made a decision in the Supreme Court, not written one decision. He stays basically mute while he sits on the court. Now, and he's also married to a white woman. That's not an argument with me because my sons are married to white women as well, and I love them dearly. But let's talk about the reality behind what we're looking at here. Why is it that you didn't say a black person, period, whether it's male or female? I'm elated that he's choosing a female, don't get me wrong, by making this statement. And the people that he has brought forth have been, they're mind-blowing. I wish you would also put Tanya Pratt in that situation from Indianapolis, but okay. At any rate, once again, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, you know, part of me says it's a great move. Another part of me is saying, well, why didn't you just say black, period, and possibly entertain having a real black man on the Supreme Court? I'm going to just open up for discussion
first. I'm still back on the whole black thing. It's like this. If he would have gotten there and said, I'm going to nominate a white woman, black people would be having a fit right now. My whole thing is, why didn't he just go, I'm going to nominate this lady, gave her the job, then we look at her and realize she's black. See, that's the part that I don't get. It's almost like, why do we, what does it mean? It's like, so now all of a sudden we're going to get black laws now because she says a black woman, or, oh, we're going to nominate the first gay. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. That's the part that we have to stop as our culture people, stop taking these moments of victory or whatever, like they pacifying us. I don't give a, excuse me, can I cuss?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I don't give a fuck that she's black woman, black anything. If she's a woman and then I look like that, he got a black woman. I don't need you to tell me, oh, I'm nominating the first black woman.
Exactly.
Is what I'm trying to say.
But you know what? In the president's behalf, I got to say this. No president in the history of America has nominated a gay person to cabinet. He has. Or a Oriental person. He has.
Asian. Oriental's furniture.
You're right. An Asian. He has. Now a black woman. He has. Black female vice president. He has. So when I say a president, whether whatever motive it was, who has done his best and done an excellent job of bringing everybody into the culture, you got to give it to Joe Biden because no other president has done it. The other thing is this.
Never done what?
Has had so many diversity.
A diverse
in
cabinet. A diverse, ethnically diverse cabinet.
George Jr. Bush Jr.
He didn't have that much diversity.
Yes, he did. Why didn't Bush Jr.?
Wait a minute.
He had Colin Powell. He had Condoleezza Rice.
That's black. We're talking about total. We're talking about he got a gay in there.
No, we don't know that. No, this is what's happening. And hold on for a second. No, this is what's happening. Obama brought this in. We don't know that those other people were gay because nobody cared about their sexuality. People like, you know, I mean, people have been gay that worked in the White House.
What I'm trying to say is
they're on this whole thing now with the titles now, like,
you're
oh, he's gay, he's
wrong.
Black,
you're
he's
wrong.
Gay.
You're
going to tell me, how do, we don't
wrong.
Know that people
no,
weren't
no,
gay.
No, you're wrong because the mayor of South Bend has constantly said
no,
he's gay.
I know he's gay. No, listen, what I'm trying to say is, what I'm trying to say is before you have a job, you're not hired because of your sexuality. Now it's almost like, oh, he's the mayor. He's the gay mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Oh, he's the gay governor of Virginia. Before, we've had gay general, we have gay mayors and gay, but that's my point. They didn't put the sexuality as their head title of their position.
What I'm saying.
What does it matter?
No. The mayor of South Bend, just like the woman who's transgender Let me finish. One of them, did they say, I'm the gay mayor? They say, I'm the mayor who happens to choose to be gay.
If they say that personally,
right.
But everybody else says, oh, you have a gay mayor or you have a gay governor.
What I'm trying to say is that's where we're wrong. But back to my original statement, when it comes to diversity, this president has been more diverse than any president in the history of America. Now,
go ahead. I'm listening.
Now, let's go back to something else that nobody's talking about. The Republican Party, who was always vocal about everything, if you notice how silent they've been about what he's doing with the Supreme Court now, you got a couple of them that are talking, but not many. They're completely silent. And the reason that they're completely silent is for the very reason we're having this conversation now, because they don't have to talk, because we're doing the talking for them, because we're having a discussion about this whole episode of her being black. Now, Dick Durbin, which to this day I'm sitting there shaking my head, really, Dick Durbin? Who's actually supporting not only the effort, but he's already chosen one of the candidates. I think she's out of North Carolina. Pretty sure, no, South Carolina, that he's supporting. There's one or two Republicans who are in leadership who are supporting not only the effort, but supporting the young lady out of South Carolina. I think that's really interesting because the heavies ain't opening mouth.
That's the part that I'm confused about. It's like this. If I know that you're about to make this black woman a Supreme Court justice, I'm not going to say nothing, never change the agenda. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
It's only they give black people these small victories, and we get all excited. Oh, my God, we got a black vice president. Oh, my God, he's making a black Supreme Court justice. Dick Durbin and all the rest of them, like, okay, what's that got to do? It's not going to change the agenda is what I'm trying to say.
It don't change the agenda.
I don't give a damn you put a purple elephant
in
there. We still got the same agenda.
Exactly, and that's the stop. That is to stop the progressive movement of those of us who are looking further down the road than temporary gratification of what the Republican Party typically has done. Now, I'll tell you something else that's interesting that was snuck in. Not a major headline, but it's been all over the press. It's Donald Trump. First of all, he lost the Supreme Court. You know that. Of not releasing or not being able to release his, what's in his court. One person voted against it, okay? But now I understand that this investigation that they're doing for the January 6th commission, not
election,
it's not really going through, but already they're talking pardon. They've suggested to the President of the United States that he pardons Donald Trump. I think that's very interesting.
And he will.
I don't think he will.
I hope he don't.
I don't think he will. No.
And I personally, I think they should have locked him up before he even...
Exactly.
He should have been locked up the day it happened.
Because I'm going to tell you something.
It's not like they didn't know where he was at.
Here's the reason why Joe Biden will not pardon him. Because number one, if people can say what they want about Joe Biden, there's one thing I can say about Joe Biden. Through his whole career in government, he's not only been a fair-minded person, but he ain't stuck on stupid. He knows damn good and well. He's pretty fair-minded. Joe Biden is. Let me say this. But he knows if he even thinks about pardoning Donald Trump, he can kiss the presidency goodbye. Because number one, it ain't going to get him no votes like he think, number one. No. Number two, what he did, if was anybody, put it this way, Benedict Arnold didn't do what this president has done. It's inexcusable. It violates every law in the Constitution. You know what I mean? He incited a riot and they attacked the seat of government. That man should have been locked up within days of that incident.
He should have been locked up that day.
Right. And then to make matters even worse, he insulted the very tradition of America, which he, but he didn't want to walk the President of the United States down the steps after the insurrection happened.
I got a question.
Go.
Okay. How old are you? 66, 67?
Yep.
How old are you? You're 54 and 51. Okay.
You said that 10 years ago, too.
That's true, too. But this I don't understand. Since when President Trump was president, the play was already in motion. Think about it for a second. Mm-hmm. His first year, the thing happened in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And the 40 years I've been living, I have never in my life ever seen a group of white men on national television talking about Jews won't replace us and got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the play was already, when Trump was elected, the play was already in. So the only way to end this madness was that what happened at the Capitol. What happened at the Capitol wasn't a surprise. They knew it. It's nothing to think about.
It might have been a surprise, but
there's no way in the world that somebody can take over the Capitol like that and catch the U.S. government off guard like that. If that's the case, then we are the weakest country in the world. America has the highest level of military security, the whole nine yards. There's no way in the world that wasn't orchestrated in some form of way. I ain't saying 100% orchestrated, but in a way, that was orchestrated. There's no way. It's not possible.
There was a lot of inside help on that. That's why those two people committed suicide. They weren't trying to get caught.
But listen. With that being said, you're 100% right. But here's what the issue is. The problem is that nobody, even those who had the investigative authority, would have ever dreamed that the President of the United States would incite such a riot. Now, for him to stand in front of the White House and protest the vote was one thing.
Yeah.
But this man actually, nobody expected that. This man actually said, let's go down to the state capitol, start hell, and I'm going with you. Nobody expected that. Period. Even those in the intelligence.
Nobody expected 9/11 either, but it happened.
My thing is this. Even with the president saying that.
That's my point. Nobody expected it. You're saying that nobody expected 9/11 just like you expect this. The difference is this. 9/11 was an attack on this country by foreign people. This is an attack on this country by the President of the United States, let me finish, who took an oath, who said he is going to protect this country regardless, and he didn't. And in fact, he did something worse. He attacked the country.
I got a question. John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Has there have not been proven that there was government officials that possibly, allegedly had something to do with Kennedy's assassination?
First of all,
so what I'm trying to say is this whole thing that Trump happened, Trump, don't give Trump so much power.
It's not power.
Trump, out of Trump, Trump, that stuff, that what I'm trying to say is that whole thing was orchestrated when Trump was elected from the beginning.
No, no,
but that's why
no,
they didn't lock
no,
him
no,
up
no,
that
no,
day.
His agenda was set forth the day he was elected. That we know.
Yeah.
But this here, no. They didn't have a clue it was going to happen. Didn't have a clue. Now, wait a minute. With that being said, was there government involvement? There's no doubt. With Kennedy's assassination, was there government? No doubt. Because you have to understand that the mafia is where the government went in the first place to knock off Castro. So that ain't no big secret. And if there's anybody out there in radio land who does not believe that the mafia had John Kennedy killed, I'm going to tell you why. They had him killed because, number one, they have invested in this president. They gave him $1 million, and $1 million today would have been a couple million.
Yeah, they come
we also know. We also know that they instructed one thing. He elected his brother as attorney general. The name of the game was cool with us, but he needs to back off of us because we paid our dues. We paid you in advance.
We paid the machine.
They didn't do it. So if you don't think that the mafia had his butt assassinated, they ain't nothing new. They do it all the time. They don't believe in somebody reneging on deals.
Correct.
This here, though, is completely different. Why is it different? Because nobody suspected, even the government, even that, A, the government would be involved, but they were. But nobody suspected, even dreamed, that this man, as president of the United States, would openly said, y'all gonna tear this damn place up and I'm gonna be with you when you do it. Come on now. That's unbelievable.
I'm telling you this, if I had been there when he said that and I was a Trump supporter, I said, I'm going when you go.
Exactly.
I'm gonna follow you lead us down there,
I'm
go with you.
With you.
But since he walked the other direction,
sure did,
and went back to this party thinking he's gonna win the election.
He's a coward.
Yeah,
right. He didn't go down there.
But he still incited.
Yes, he did.
He still said he did say let's all go down there and do this, that, and the other, but
and
he
I'm
never
going,
went.
I'm
like, so where are you going then? I thought you was going down to the Capitol.
And let me tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
The same mentality of these terrorists. Check this out. You go and take that bomb and straighten it, put it on your body and blow yourself up. And not only will Allah be proud of you, but there's a 50-room mansion.
Nah, don't put that on Allah.
No, don't do that. No, you're not listening.
Stop.
You're being defensive.
I'm not.
This is what they said. Okay? But guess what? Not one of them strapped a bomb on them and did it.
Exactly. No, they don't.
This is no different than Donald Trump. He's a terrorist.
It's no different than
terrorist.
Mm-hmm. You can't say he's a terrorist.
Why can't you say he's a terrorist?
No different than Hitler.
Come on.
Hitler said go do a whole bunch of stuff.
What I'm trying to say, they're all terrorists. Joe Biden's a terrorist.
Wait, come on, man. No.
Think about it. I mean, we can't do that. We can't. Because
yes,
Donald Trump, let me tell you like this.
Yes,
Donald Trump comes from the same coin. If Donald Trump did that was something so bad, they would have brought him up on treason.
That's my point.
But they didn't.
You know
let me tell you why. I know why.
Why?
Because they're on the same squad. If Donald Trump did something that was so horrific, he would have been brought up on treason.
Listen, first of all, don't say he didn't do something horrific. Especially, I'm going to
tell
you.
They all do something horrific.
I'm going to tell you something. That may be true. I'm not going to argue that. But nobody stood on nationwide TV in front of cameras and told you he was doing it. Come on.
I got a question for you.
How did you defend that?
Would you? I got a question for you. What's the difference? What I'm trying to say. So say, for instance, if he did it behind closed doors and it still happened.
Okay.
At the end of the day, does he have more respect or less respect because he got on national TV? Put it like this. It happened, though. You get what I'm saying? It's almost like
why
when
are you defending him?
I'm not defending Trump.
What he's saying is it happened regardless either way.
Listen,
right. So
it's not.
I'm not talking about the man himself. I'm talking about the whole system.
The issue itself is this. Yes, we know it happened. There's no argument there. But to sit there and say everybody's a terrorist, that's not true. Now, the difference is that Donald Trump was bold enough, just like he's bold enough to be on microphone talking about touching women's behinds and all that stuff and got away with it. Anybody else would have went to jail.
But he stood in front of the world and said, fuck you. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. And you know what? For a person being in the military, not only am I insulted, but when I say that they should have hung the man should have been hung. Period. Period. There's no argument there. What this man did was wrong, whether he did it behind closed doors or not. That
okay.
I agree.
Okay, I'm
but the
asking.
Fact remains is he did it. He put it in America's face, and these people protecting his butt are wrong.
Okay, I got a question. The other night on the Pepe Snap Show, we were talking about good cop, bad cop. And the other day in Nashville, Tennessee, there was a guy that's walking down the highway. Police are surrounding whatever. He pulled out a weapon. They shot and killed him. Mm-hmm. National TV, everything. Okay. So their argument was the police is always killing somebody. The police is this and police is that. So my question was this. If you at home with your family, somebody climbs to your window and you pull out a gun, do you shoot and kill that person or do you injure him? Oh, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him because I'm protecting my family. Well, my thing was, well, that's their job, to kill. Police are not trained to injure. Police are trained to kill. That's their job.
That's what tasers are for.
But they're not trained to use the tasers.
Yes, they are.
Hold on for a second. The police are just like the military. It's trained to kill. If we think you got a gun, if you pull out and act like the guy did like this, came out of his pocket like this. If we believe that you have a gun, we are killing you. But that's not the part I was trying to get them to understand. My part to get them to understand is their job is also to come home every day to their family.
Mm-hmm.
So if your life is in danger, because think about, people don't talk about this. The police officer get killed or beat cops. Detectives don't get killed. You see what I'm saying? The sergeant chief of police. I'm talking about a majority of police officers get killed or beat cops. Cops that's out in the streets that deal with the public. So the whole thing was, why don't anyone ever look at the perspective of police officers being humans and they want to go home to their family just like you want to go home for your family if you worked at Burger King?
Oh, I agree with you. Well,
so what I'm trying to say, we people, especially, we train our people, black people, as soon as a cop kills somebody, they're a bad cop. No, maybe it was a justified killing, and he wants to get onto his family. So what I'm trying to say is, but it's that system. So what I'm saying is we say Trump, 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 Trump. This thing is bigger than Trump. So since Trump is not the president anymore, is our lives better as black people? Since Trump is not president anymore, is corruption in the U.S. government going away? No. A white man just got on TV just last week and said, well, black people vote just like Americans. What? Ain't we Americans?
Let me say something.
That's all I'm saying. Everybody's just caught up on Trump.
Let me say something to you. Before you do that, let me chime in on his. If you're a cop and you're that scared that you're not going to come home that day, mm-hmm. you shouldn't have become a cop because that job requires that one day you're not coming home.
I never said possibly. I was scared.
No, I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm just saying. Right. But you have to be scared because cops have always said, I felt in danger of my life. And these are towards unarmed black men. So if you're that scared of an unarmed black man that you have to shoot him, sometimes overabundantly, getting 20, 30, 40 shots and shot in you, then you don't need to be a cop.
But see, now we're playing with semantics here because we can always shift again and go, what about the unarmed black man that another black man killed?
No, that's different because cops...
Let me say this. What you said is true.
Yes.
Let me share this with you. The military is trained to kill. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Exactly.
But I tell you what, you talk to Rick Hyde and some of these police officers, Rick used to be chief, they're not trained to kill. They really aren't. They're trained to maim in order to protect lives. Now, you've got cops that's taking it to the extreme, and a bunch of them have never served in the military.
Right.
These are just some cocky ass cowboy type cops.
Yeah.
But the average cop, no, they're not trained to kill. They're trained to maim. They're trained to, what's the word I use? Not secure. Yeah, secure.
Secure.
That's what they're trained to do.
Now, to protect.
Now, exactly. So you can't mix the same mentality when he talks about cops in the military. But back to Donald Trump, it just fascinates me that people give this man excuses because that's exactly what they're doing. There is no excuse whatsoever
that tell people or encourage people to go and tear down the government. No excuse for it. Your job is to protect and defend. This man does nothing, but it's unbelievable. It's inconceivable that anybody could do what he did and still walk the streets. Because if it was anybody else, they'd been hung. Period. Hung.
Trust me, if it was Barack Obama who made that speech.
Been dead.
If a Barack Obama had made that speech about going down to the state capitol and doing what they did.
Or Joe Biden.
Or Joe Biden.
So how long are we going to act blind as black men in this country?
A lot.
How long are we going to continue to act like blind black men? Because the whole thing is like this. That old if thing. Why every time we talk about the big picture, we always do the what if it was, but it wasn't.
For the same reason that you say the same thing, say in reverse. Come on, man.
No, what I'm trying to say is Barack Obama's agenda as president was to secure the homosexual agenda. Donald Trump's whole presidency from the beginning was to create this whole racial divide in the country. He came down the escalator and said Mexicans was rapists.
Okay.
So anybody who, from day one, we already knew what the game was. Donald Trump the whole time talked bad about Republicans and didn't turn right back and turn bad about the Democrats. He was the only president to go, Republicans are stupid, Democrats are dumb. So what I'm trying to say is his whole presidency was to be disruptive.
Okay, I understand
that. That's what I'm trying to say.
I understand that. But here's where we are wrong when you talk about black people.
Yeah.
When are we going to stop accepting? Just like...
Show is up.
Okay. We're going to continue this conversation again Wednesday. It's important, but it's time for me to roll. It's been fun, but I got to run. You've been visiting the show. See, I'm upset now. No, I'm not. But you're visiting the show Controversy. Stephen B., your host. See you Wednesday at 10 o'clock. We're going to finish this discussion. God bless you.